Hey, welcome. Carm Capriotto here with Remarkable Results Radio's episode 460. You know, facing an uncertain future can be a very daunting ordeal. Fear will always accompany you. Either you face it or you fold. You decide. Your decision can make or break you. Hear how Eric Bock ventured and faced his fears when he quit his secure job to open his own shop.
I feel we've done some tremendous things to help get us there. And it's pretty amazing when you decide to not let fear run your life.
Welcome, aftermarketers, to Remarkable Results Radio. Listen to learn just one thing from today's episode on your journey to remarkable results. Hi, friends. Carm Capriotto here. Are you subscribed to a free podcast listening app? Is it your first time here? Have you joined our ecosystem for free? Discover some of the hottest topics and the word on the street as we have conversations with aftermarket professionals that help you lead a better life in business. Go to remarkableresults.biz/listen and find my listening app or over a dozen other free listening apps available on the World Wide Web. And also find the newsletter, sign up, join in, remarkableresults.biz/listen. Hey, to stay ahead of the curve in today's rapidly changing industry, I highly recommend you attend APEX. It's on your calendar, I hope, November 5th through the 7th at the Sands Expo in Las Vegas, biggest of its kind. For information, visit aapexshow.com. Remember, if you earn your living in the aftermarket, APEX is exactly for you. Seminars, suppliers, new tech, training, and networking are all on the menu. Hey, it's time to face your fear. I'm with Eric Bock of Bock Auto, Amagansett, New York. This is in the Hamptons area. You've heard of the Hamptons, right? Well, Eric is very passionate about cars, and he dreamed he was going to own a shop one day. Working to achieve his dream and passion, Eric required an awesome amount of guts in facing all the uncertainties it could bring, and many of you have been there. Eric faced his fears, quit his job, jumped in with both feet. It's a great story. Now his shop boasts a full-service preventative maintenance and automotive repair center, and he knows that he needs to purchase his own building. Do you know what real estate costs in the Hamptons? Well, he'll tell you. You'll be shocked. We all know that fear is a huge wall to overcome, so listen to how Eric did it. Learn from it and maybe share this episode with a colleague who is also weighed down with the fear of making decisions and achieving their goals. As Eric would say, if you are passionate about something, do it. There is no try. Hey, a warm welcome to Eric Bock from Bock Auto in Amagansett, New York. Did I say that right?
Yes, you did.
Wow. The eastern, last town in eastern end of Long Island.
That's correct.
You're my first Long Island person that I've had. Good to have you here. Eric, there's a reason you're on. You have a story of transformation and commitment. It's a good one, and I want people to hear about your tenacity, your work ethic, because people are going to realize that, is this guy nuts? I can't believe it. You worked for the previous shop owner. You bought this shop, am I right?
That is correct. It was V&V Auto for 37 years.
37 years. Was that a big move to change the name?
I think part of it was, but it was intentional to progress forward, to show people that it's something new. It's an experience that they've never had before. So,
okay. It was important after 37 years to say, hey, look at us. Look at us. We did something different here.
Exactly.
Cool. Did you put a big marketing campaign together?
We actually did no marketing. I'm 13th generation in our town from where we've come from. So with us, word of mouth, has been our biggest thing. Everybody always says, you know, you can't pay for that. But being 13th generation out here, it's something that I wholeheartedly believe my name means absolutely everything. I take tremendous pride in that. And that has transformed the honesty. It's shown what we do being different than everybody else out here. Not that the other shops are dishonest, but it's just a different feel that we really feel building that relationship with the customer.
I love it. I love it. People can say, hey, the Bock boy now owns that shop. We got to go there, right?
That's exactly it. So that's been a tremendous help. So,
oh, cool. You're a young man, aren't you?
35 years old.
Wow. See, I love interviewing millennials and young shop owners. And, you know, the world's your oyster. So much ahead of you. And I think because of how hard you worked to get where you are today, I think is a unique part of this story. And I know that fear is something that doesn't commute inside of you, is it?
it did for a while. And it was something that once I was able to recognize what my fears were, come up with a plan to face them, we kind of realized when we got there, it really wasn't this great big wall. We were able to just kind of step over the little rope and move on from there. And we couldn't be happier since.
Good for you. Wife is very much involved in the business?
She is. She's one of our writers. So I have two service writers. I have my mother is one of my writers and my wife is my other writer.
Oh my. Are you kidding me? I see the value in the entire Bach family, right?
That's exactly it. And it shows the generational difference. It helps connect with customers, you know, from every generation with that.
Let's bring our listener into what the rest of the story is all about. And that is you were, up until just a very short time ago, a 911 dispatcher.
That is correct.
Okay, for all of us people that don't have a clue about dispatching at 9/11 and the stress and that you may be under and the lives that you've possibly saved, would you please give us non-this 9/11 people a little tour of what that job was like?
Basically, we have everybody would, when they call 911, they're calling for the worst possible day of their life. You're speaking to somebody whose child has stopped breathing. You're speaking to somebody who, you know, may have been in a motor vehicle accident, stuff like that. So you're dealing with the absolute worst case scenario in somebody's life. And it's a matter of being able to get control of the situation, try to provide as much help as you can, and go from there.
What kind of training to be able to calm a situation?
So we have yearly training that's mandatory of X amount of hours a year. It's stuff, there's the initial training that is weeks upon weeks of going to different levels. Some of it even includes some stress management stuff, but it's all stuff from that job that I've been able to carry over into our business here and see a lot of value in that as well.
Ever save a life or two?
We have, yes. It's an amazing feeling. It's something that when you're doing CPR, for me personally, my call that's most memorable was I had a non-English speaking caller with a 18-month-old child that pulled out of the pool and got them breathing again. And to hear the child cry is something I will never, ever, ever forget nor take for granted. So, and that's a job that absolutely, it's always behind the scenes. A lot of people don't realize, you know, the job that's being done there. You're kind of on scene first. You always hear about the police officer who arrived, the EMS worker, you know, the fireman or whatever, but the dispatcher's on the phone the entire time, just from start to finish. And we never get to see that closure most of the time where you see the patient go to the hospital or walk out of the hospital.
Wow. No doubt it is obviously changed you as a person in your life to see that side of our world. And congrats for your service in helping us survive our sometimes very crazy world. But the big piece of this is that Eric just left this job in April 2019, but you've owned the shop for how long now?
Since September of 2015.
Oh, so you decided not to leave the 9/11 job. And why was that?
Fear. I was allowing fear to run my life. My passion is automotive since, you know, I was little. I absolutely love cars. Always had a dream of owning a shop one day. You know, I've had this vision of what my shop will be one day, and it's amazing. Now we're getting closer and closer to making that vision a reality. I feel we've done some tremendous things to help get us there. And it's pretty amazing when you decide to not let fear run your life.
You just said we've done some amazing things to get us there. Number one on the top of your head.
Commitment to each other as a team. I wouldn't be who I am without my team. And my team includes my wife, my family members, my kids, my technicians, their wives, their kids. We are one cohesive unit that has to be that way. And the priority is taking care of that entire team above all else.
I find it fascinating that you said what you said, and I just wrote down the word leadership here and family. And you did say commitment. And, you know, it wasn't like I bought a new tool cabinet. It wasn't like I did a lot of marketing. It wasn't like, you know, I just put in DVI software. It was the soft side and the important side of the business.
I honestly feel if you take care of that as your number one priority and you then transfer that same level of commitment to your customer, everything else falls into place. Not easily, but it gives you the tools to make everything happen.
So the fear factor went away. And in April of 2019, you left the comfort and the security of the benefits and all that stuff from 9/11. And you said, hey, I can replace my salary, obviously. That's probably one of the big things.
That was the biggest thing. The health insurance was something that always in today's market is concerning. We went from, you know, getting bi-monthly paychecks that were there no matter what, never a question of this customer hasn't paid a bill, health insurance bills paid, retirement, all that stuff. And, you know, that fear of not being able to provide for my family. What if this doesn't work? What if we have a slow month? You know, it was really just addressing that, getting to the root cause of it.
So 9/11 was a cushion for you.
Absolutely. It was a crutch that I didn't want to let go of.
Since April, and it's only been a few months,
yeah.
Do you find that you're doing things differently to ensure the success of the business so that you don't have to say, oh, I never should have done that?
I think I've found myself working really hard to be a better leader. You have mentioned that word as well. And I think that I've had the commitment to the business. We've been doing these things. We've been growing. But it takes on a little bit different angle when that crutch isn't there anymore. And then you see the success is still growing above and beyond because, you know, we had this stuff that we knew we were able to do. We knew we were able to produce X amount of numbers. We need to increase. We need to grow in order for me to leave. We got to the point where, okay, I can now leave the dispatch center and go on. But being able to actually grow from there and be doing way more than needed is...
But you still worked at the shop until like 2:30 every day. So, I can't imagine from, you know, this incredible, stressful industry that we work in. I mean, and I don't mean it's stressful in a bad way, because if you're serving customers, then you create, you know, it's probably good stress to take care of your people, but to create the family environment and deal with all the issues that we have and then going to work at 3 to midnight.
Yeah, we averaged 90 hours a week is what I did. And it came at a cost to my wife and my children. We're extremely supportive, but it reached a point where my oldest turned 10 this July. But I had sat back and it was right around Christmas time. And I was looking for years, I had wanted to leave. And it was just always leaning on that crutch. And decided to work with my business coach, came up with a plan, an idea of, he broke it down really, really simple in about a minute and a half of where the financials needed to be. There was zero reason to not do it. It was just committing to it. And I kind of said, well, we...
So you probably rediscovered your 10-year-old.
We did. I at the time, he plays travel baseball. And then I have two other children. My other son is 7 and my daughter's 4. Having the time to go to his baseball game. We're going this Thursday and Friday down to Maryland for a baseball tournament down at the Cal Ripken Stadium. And not having to worry about, okay, do I have somebody to cover my shifts? Not having to worry about, you know, that stuff has been a tremendous help.
Good for you. I love what you said about, you set a goal, and when you reach that goal, then you pretty much said, ooh, I got to press the button on 9/11.
I had made the decision with my wife that when I took over the shop and we were going to leave there, and there was some issues contractually with the dispatch center leaving initially. So it kind of stalled me a little bit from leaving. Then it reached a point where I said, well, I might as well stay, get through the first winter. You know, have that comfort for the winter. And then it turned into, it just kind of got dragged out. Every single time, you know, I got to the point where I got the courage to say, okay, I'm leaving, I've had enough, or, you know, I need to do this, I'd find every reason not to. Some of it was real thoughts, some of it was real things. But at the end of the day, now that I've been going and going through, it's just a little blip. It's a blip on the radar. It's not anything that should have occupied any time in my mind.
Got it. I love it. A little blip on the radar. I mean, isn't that what so much of our lives' events are once you get beyond them and down the road a bit? Yeah. Would you have done it in 2016, 2017? Would you? Is hindsight 2020 for you?
It is. You know, I definitely feel it would have been nice to have done it sooner just because of the time I missed out with my family. But it's something that, you know, we can't live in the past. We can only worry about what's happening right now.
You know, you put your heart and soul into your work every day, but the automotive aftermarket, it moves fast. And staying competitive means staying up to date on the very latest training and new products. At Apex, the Automotive Aftermarket Product Expo, the training sessions are some of the best I've ever seen, and they all take place over a 3-day period, all under one roof. Apex training is geared toward shop owners, technicians, auto parts retailers, and warehouse distributors, and each year, Apex adds new programs to make sure you stay ahead. In 2018 alone, Apex added shop equipment and technology training and electric car and alternative fuel vehicle training. Now, keep in mind, these sessions are taught by many of the top trainers in the industry. Mark your calendar now to attend Apex 2019, November 5th through the 7th at the Sands Expo in Las Vegas. To learn more, visit AAPEXshow.com. Tell me about your wife. She has to be so strong to support you in that and being in the business with you. Does she get the wife award every year?
She certainly does. I'm extremely blessed with her for putting up with me, whether it's my nonsense.
So what do you mean Eric's nonsense?
I get very driven about something and I get kind of relentless about it.
So are you a dominant person or are you just so high conformity that it's just got to be right?
It's a matter of doing the right thing, even if it means... You know, for me in the business wise, even if it means that we're losing in a financial situation, but it's the right thing by the customer. It's not something that's going to happen all the time. It's not something, but sometimes you have to step up and make sure that it's always the right thing you're doing. And it just comes back, you know, tenfold on the other end. And it's something that her being able to keep me grounded with some of the things that go on a daily basis is something that I treasure, that she's able to do that and reel me back in.
So where are you getting your training? Where are you getting your leadership ideas?
I listen to your podcast a lot, but I attended Vision this year. That was my first time out there. We're taking the entire shop out to AST end of this month. I work with our business coaches, Rick White. We started with him back in October, and he has not just changed our business. He's changed my life. He's been able to help me get to a point where I can rise 500 feet above the situation and disassociate myself with it and really try to make choices based on that instead of the knee-jerk reaction stuff. And that's helped me tremendously.
When did you hire Rick?
We started in October this year.
September 2015, you bought the business. Did you get a good deal?
We did. Yeah, we were. The previous owner was very good to us.
Good. So. Glad to hear that. And you'd worked there for many years, and so he found himself an internal succession plan. And you got a good deal. He got out.
That's correct. So we're a small 3-bay shop, 1,700 square feet, attached to a gas station built in 1977. Gas station still owned by him. There's a car wash attached to it, so we still interact daily. But it's been a big change from how, you know, they worked on cars in 1977, 1980, 1985, 1990. The success they had, it's just a completely different industry now. It was time that things needed to change. And not that they were doing things wrong, but they were comfortable with how things were. And unfortunately, I just envisioned so much more. There's so much more potential out there.
You seem like a goal setter. Any thoughts on getting out, different shop, someday getting, you know, a bigger, better place, unattaching yourself?
That's exactly where we're at now, is we are trying to find another location, a larger location. Our issue is our real estate. Where we live is what's considered the Hamptons. It's the playground of the rich and famous. But what most people don't realize is that it's also the locals. Like I said, I'm 13th generation here. There's a lot more local people than that. But the issue is commercial real estate. I just looked at a building this morning, 6,500 square feet for $7 million.
Whoa, 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 whoa. I'm sorry. That just knocked me off my chair.
Absolutely. And it's something that it's realistic of either we need to make a decision of are we going to go to a multi-location business, which I personally don't like due to span and control issues and stuff, or are we going to go into this larger scale operation that we want with the ADOS coming down that we're investing in, all that other stuff? There's no choice. And I really feel with that. But the issue is that was one building that we looked at. We looked at another one at $3.9 million that's smaller that needs. So the numbers are scary, but as we progress and grow, you take it with what it is. Commercial real estate out here, I don't want to say it's non-existent, but it's very, very limited. So the prices are just driven sky high.
So your labor rate, because of the area that you're in, obviously not the rich and famous are going to come to you, but the locals, do the locals realize they're paying more for stuff because it's the Hamptons?
I think everybody has that mindset. The issue is we do have a list of celebrities that are customers of ours, but they're treated the same way as the woman who's living on Social Security, you know, in the affordable housing complex. And I think setting that standard that everybody's treated the same. And I don't feel that our prices might be higher compared to other people in the area, but the service that they're getting is a completely different service. I really feel that although there's other shop owners in the area that do a good job, I just feel that it's not apples to apples. What we're able to provide the customer is a completely different experience from top to bottom.
And what is that? Explain that to me.
I think it's that relationship, the relationship-based business model of putting the customer first. And everybody, a lot of people say, oh, we do that. But do you really do that? You know, and I think when you break down what that means, how, you know, you have a customer comes in that asks you to do a repair, they authorize a $1,500, $1,800, $2,500 repair, whatever it is, and you know it's not worth it to put into the vehicle. In the interest of the customer, not doing the repair, having the conversations with them, I've had four or five customers that I lost as a customer because I refused to do the repair because it just wasn't the right thing to do. And walking away from that, every one of those customers have come back except for one and said, you know, I didn't see it at the time. It took me 6 months or whatever, but thank you for looking out for me. I went elsewhere and I didn't get the same service. I went, you know, they just took my money. Now I have this. I should have listened. There's a lot of stuff like that. And that's not the only example. And there's a lot of shop owners that would still do that because it's the right thing. But I just think truly caring, do you get to know your customer? Do you know their kids' names? Do you know what they do? You know, outside of work for fun, do you attend, whether it be the same church, the same little league, the same, you know, and just making sure that you establish that relationship with the customer trumps absolutely everything. Because at the end of the day, in a couple of years, they're going to have a different car. They're going to have, you know, different things. But if you keep that relationship with them and that trumps absolutely everything else, no matter what it is, it's coming back to you.
A very powerful universal message for the entire industry, Eric, no matter if you're in San Diego or out on Long Island. Thank you for sharing that. Let me go back to the $7 million building for a moment. What would a $4 million building even rent for a month? Any idea?
That's the issue. I just looked at there was another building that's up for rent. It's about 4,800 square feet. You're looking at $420,000 a year in rent is what they're looking for out of it. And the numbers just don't work. So it gets to the point where at that point you have to decide to buy, of which the numbers are scary. But I think if you look at the direction this industry is going, I think, you know, you see the older shop owners starting to fade out a little bit. I really think that the future is going to be something that, you know, the industry's never seen, because you're going to get the guys that are hungry, the guys that understand what's coming up and investing in that. You see them starting to do these bigger operations, and there's going to be less of us, but it's going to be a bigger operation that just, it's actually going to be a career. It's not just going to be a job. It's going to be something that everybody within the business is going to have a career where they're successful and are able to provide the life for their families that they deserve.
Gutsy move to purchase a building, but if you were going to pay $420,000 in rent and you could turn that somehow into a mortgage payment, knowing where you are and where you live, it'll appreciate 1 or 2% right away. You know, the beauty of owning property, especially down in the Hamptons, is that you're not going to lose on, you know, an appreciated value. But I can't imagine what the break evens need to be in the business. So I'm sure, no doubt, a business plan of, you know, probably doubling your top line in order to afford and pay for that would be in order. And I think obviously with you and Rick working together, it's probably all within reach.
It's amazing how when you look at it from a different perspective, or he's able to just take a simple thing as a number of that we see as so unobtainable. And, you know, I'm looking at it as the same exact thing as when I was leaving the 911 center, of all these reasons why not to and all this stuff, and just break it down of, okay, well, this is what you need to do to make it work. And just seems so simple.
I call that yellow pad math. Yeah, you know, and I've done this so many times in my life, and maybe this is a great point to share with our listener. Get the yellow pad out, put the calculator there, get a pen with a lot of ink, and start playing. Yeah, you could do a spreadsheet, but then you got to worry about the formulas. Just write, you know, fill a yellow pad with your ideas and your concepts, and, you know, work backwards, work forward, do some percentages, and just get into the numbers and see how you could make it work, and put it away, and then come back to it a couple of days later, put some fresh eyes on it. There's some, you know, great stories on how many great businesses flourished by just doing the math.
Absolutely. it seems crazy, but when you start breaking it down, it just to its simplest form. And I found that it's not just with this, it's life in general, breaking everything down to its simplest form. And it's something that's enabled me to be a better husband, a better father, a better son, you know, a better friend, and keeping that perspective of what really matters.
Well, with those words, I am just going to thank you for being here, Eric Bach from Bach Auto, and ask you to come back and share with us how you were able to afford your new building.
We look forward to it.
And oh, by the way, you're going to be on a panel with me at ASTE September 27th of 2019, and we're going to talk about technician retention.
Absolutely. We look forward to it.
Yeah, me too. Thanks, Eric.
Thank you so much, Carm.
Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from the premier automotive aftermarket podcast. Until next time.